I was trying to do some Tai Chi over the last 6 months. And while I was waiting for the volcanic ash to clear and trying to get on an airplane, which meant going back and forth to the airport, I was in my cousin's apartment in Manhattan. And, you know, being quite bored, I was doing a lot of Tai Chi in the living room. Now, all of a sudden, some Asian man appeared to me, very pleasant face, very pleasant personality, and he started instructing me in how to do everything I was doing without actually moving. So I started doing what he was telling me. You know, I just go with energy. I didn't start questioning, who are you? What are you doing here? And then at the end of the session, and it was definitely a session, it had a start and it had an end, he told me, now tell Jim, that's my name of my cousin, that he should come and see me again. And I kind of said, like, you want me to tell him that you, whoever you are, want him to come see you again? He's not going to believe me. He said, it doesn't matter. So about 15 minutes later, my cousin walks in the door. I said, Jim, you're not necessarily going to believe this, but I was doing this Tai Chi over here, and all of a sudden, this Asian man appeared, and before I could go further, he said, wait. He ran in the other room and pulled out a picture and said, is it him? I said, yeah. Except he looked much younger. He didn't have any wrinkles, and, you know, his hair was shorter. He looked more pleasant, more happy, because he was right in the middle of chopping somebody in half in this picture. He said, oh my God, that's my teacher. He's one of those masters. And then he proceeds to tell me how once he was sitting in front of this master, and all of a sudden the master levitated, and everybody practically fell over right on the spot. He was sitting right next to him when he just right off the floor. He's one of those masters who just throws energy at a wall and cracks a hole in it. He seems to be world famous. I never heard of him because I don't do that stuff. And then I said, well, he said, why haven't you come to see him? My cousin was, yeah, I gotta go. So then I got a little faith. The next day he came again and we did the same thing, except now the technique was getting more interesting for me. And that afternoon my cousin asked me, what was he teaching? I said he was, actually he threw a ball at me and I was just bouncing it back and forth in my hands and other stuff. And then my cousin told me something very interesting. He said, you know, he only teaches this to his 3 or 4 most advanced students after 20 or 30 years of their practice. He said that this way of doing Tai Chi or Qigong, where you don't move really, you're just moving around energy in a very, very subtle way. Inside, it's moving around, and you're moving it from here to there. This is for the masters. And then I thought, you know, it seems as if what we, now when I say we, I mean us guys, if you've been with us for many years, we have been going through this process kind of like leading us in this kind of direction. And all these guys who are doing Tai Chi and Qigong and all that, they're kind of going through a process leading like in that direction. And we meet at one point. These are my theories. You can't quote this in public forum or publish it. It's just a theory. I also have a theory that yogis or mystics or people who do any kind of a discipline that's related to something that starts off physical end up basically at the same point sooner or later. It seems to me that discipline, it has the characteristic of taking something which is, shall we say, unaware, and bringing it to a level of awareness. Let's take a child. A child, when it's born, is undisciplined. Children They just do what they want to do when they want to do it. They're not aware how they disturb others. They're not aware how they may harm themselves. They're just gung-ho for life. They go out and they're just acting. Now, what a good parent does, or what school does, or what any form of education does, it makes them aware of the consequences of what they do. It says that if you run downstairs, you can fall, crack your head. If you run with scissors, you can fall, stab yourself, or stab someone else. If you just eat candy all day, your teeth are going to fall out. We make them aware that they're not immortal. We make them aware that they're going to end up like us, and that they had better take care of themselves to make that as pleasant an experience as possible. Awareness of social responsibility. Awareness of the responsibility to the earth planet, and so on. So the whole development of a child really is about awareness. Then there's other stuff like skills and so on. But awareness is really the main business of education, to make you aware of different things. So I've seen that in spiritual disciplines, or whatever kind of discipline there is for the development of the being, that gradually you are being made aware, more and more aware of what is going on beyond that which you have been looking at your entire life or feeling your entire life. There's something beyond it. And when I say beyond, I don't mean it's over there. So when I was learning from this master, and I was definitely learning, this was not a sharing experience, I was being taught something and I actually learned it. I was becoming aware of how that which I have been doing, again, in this path for so many years, was making me aware of what he just said. It was not a problem for me to understand it. He just said what to do, I did it, because it made perfect sense. Let's take the ball. Now, I don't know, some of you are new faces to me, but when we have been doing for many years the ping pong ball in the head to balance the left and right brain exercise, I just found out that's a highly advanced Qigong technique. And I just thought it was a ping pong ball. But okay, who cares what it's called? It works. We create this ball on one side of our head, and then we move it over to the other side energetically, and then we move it back. And by taking this ball and moving it back and forth to both sides, we are integrating the energy of both hemispheres of our brain in such a way that they start to work together. And that's very important, because so far, at least most people I've known, we're born this way. It's a split between the right and left side of the brain. We don't work together in this way. There's not an integration between these two sides of our brains. Okay, there's a minimal integration, but it's not really used to its proper capacity. So by doing this kind of exercise and integrating the two sides of the brain, the human being becomes much more aware, because now you have the intuitive and the rational meeting in a compatible union. Now, in Tai Chi, there's an awful lot of movement, like where you go from one side to the other side, and you move this Qi ball here around your chest. You're moving from one side to the other side, then you're picking it up on the other side and moving it from this side to that side. So there's like this back and forth of movement of energy from side to side. And if you remember, we also did these exercises that we bring down the energy into the dominant side. Usually for the male, it's the right. For the female, it's the left. We fill that side, and then we just push over the energy to the weak side and then integrate it. All of this is very important, because the more you integrate the male and female energies, and I'm not talking about it in a gender manner. I'm talking about in the quality of this energy. The more you integrate from side to side the two energies, the more you become whole and you grow. Now, we are already doing that, us people who have been working in this for many years. We've been doing this bringing of energy, moving it here, doing the ping pong ball, you know, moving energy back and forth. We've been doing this stuff. So he said, you take the ball here and you let it roll along your arm, over the shoulder, the back, and it ends up over there. And then it just rolls back. And I mean, I didn't find it difficult at all. And I don't think anybody here who's been doing what we've been doing for a while will find it difficult at all. So I wanted to share it with you. It's kind of really cool. I've even been taking this ball and using it like a massage ball. I've been starting to have it put pressure on me. So like when it goes down my spine, it's like pushing in and then back up again and then back down. It's like a massage ball and then you roll it around and then it massages around all over. It's kind of really cool. And then when you want to get fancy, you can have it flip over the shoulder this way. One very interesting thing is to have it go from the top of the head on the right side, for instance, and crisscross here and roll down the left side and then come back up over here, come to here and roll down the right side. It's energetic gymnastics. And it really has a power. What it does is it integrates your energy to such a degree that you can actually start to truly experience the unique balance between the male and female energies in the body. Now, if you remember yesterday, if you were here yesterday, I mentioned about Lord Chaitanya, that one of the deeper hidden reasons for him being here that hasn't really been discussed is his being the perfect unification of Radha and Krishna, who are the archetypical male and female. So I'm going to tell you a secret, which is obviously not a secret anymore since I'm telling you. But I've actually been afraid of Lord Chaitanya for a long time. Thinking about that integration between the male and female. As you remember yesterday, I was talking about one of my very interesting conversations with my wife where she declares logic is not part of this conversation, and I declare logic must be part of this conversation. So I'm afraid of this feminine energy. I have a fear of it. The idea of integrating it really, totally with me, scares me to death. So I feel like there was this responsibility that if I believe this is like a hidden function of Lord Chaitanya, I have this responsibility to experience this, otherwise I can't talk about it. But it scares me. So how am I going to do it? Like we talked yesterday, that if you don't want to do something or you're afraid of something or you just have no desire, you block it instantly. So enter energetic Tai Chi. The way in which you can integrate those energies without having to have the mind involved. Because this movement of the ball is logical and rational. After all, there's a ball and you know where it's moving and it's going somewhere else. You feel it, it's moving. There's logic and rationality to it. But if I was to walk out on the street and stop one of these people walking by here and tell them, yeah, I'm having this ball moving around on my shoulders and, you know, they think I'm nuts. It's irrational. It makes no sense to consider that an energetic ball can be assembled by a person, that he can roll it around his shoulders and arms. It's madness. So it allows you to balance these two very opposing forces. So I knew I had to share it with you. Because it's really an important key. Sometimes people think that surrendering to God, however, whatever religious way you wish to do it or whatever your conception is a question of faith or it's a question of prayer or it's a question of hard work or being sinless. Well, maybe these things are involved, but actually, if you think about it, we are of the same energy as the Supreme, as the Divine. And if we just accept that, don't fight it, don't judge it, don't reject it, just accept it. And then allow the energy of the divine to flow towards us and accept that energy. We can do a lot, but there's still something we have to do more. And that is to develop ourselves more, become even more aware. We usually think in terms of when we deal with the deities, I'll use the deities as an example, I hope you don't mind. The first and foremost, we feel from them. When we are in accepting mode, their incredible energy flows towards us. We just attract their incredible energy towards us. And within that is communication. We understand, we get information, we get support. But what if the deity was to throw us a ball? How would you deal with it? Now, I'm using the example of a ball because we just started talking about balls, so just hang in there with me. But if we're just kind of limited to the relationship of accepting and giving our love and just feeling that energy, and then there's some information with it too, well, isn't that a bit limited? Think about this. If I can stand here and I can have my energetic arms without me moving them, move the ball along outside as if I have an energetic body which I can control separately from this physical body. I now have a capacity to experience which is so much more developed and advanced than my present capacity. And if the deity was to throw me a ball, so to speak, how would I catch it if I don't have that capacity? People talk about the spiritual sky. They talk about spiritual bodies. They talk about heaven. They talk about wings or whatever they talk about. And exclusively, this demands your death. There's no question of getting there unless you die first. So those who are the most fanatical in their particular way of doing things live to die. Yet, as far as I can see, the purpose of life is to live, not to die. Do you know that you really don't have to die? Do you know that there is a gene which you turn on that creates death? There's a specific hormone in your thymus gland which signals the degradation of the body. It's a social phenomena, death. Pretty shocking. Of course, most people think that's ridiculous. But I thought I'd just let you think about that. So if I can deal with this energy ball, and if I have that capacity, and then if I just allow the deity to throw me a ball, and I throw it back, all of a sudden, I now have a quote-unquote bodily relationship with the divine. It's not just a thought. It's not just a feeling. It's not a faith. It's not after death. It's right here, right now. So there's no need to die. And everything's in living. I think that's pretty amazing. I'm not sure how you're digesting this, but I think it's pretty mind-boggling. And this can only really be done when that balance is there of the energies. Because when one is out of balance, the male or female energy is not in harmonic equality. What you have is a rather impossible situation to try to do more advanced esoteric things. If you're too much in the male-dominated aspect of existence, then everything turns into being an intellectual understanding, conceptualization, philosophy, discussions, essays. It becomes very rational. And if you're on the other side, rather intuitive, simply intuitive, just feeling and understanding, well, then you become very emotional. You take things out of context. You don't see the balance between things. the context and therefore can prevent imbalanced responses. So it seems to me that unless you've got that balance, it's not going to work on these, shall we say, more sophisticated levels of spiritual mysticism. Now this ball business, what's nice about it is that what happens when that ball is moving past that line is that it's dragging energy with it back and forth. So it forces the balance to take place. And because it's a chi ball, it's not energy that you create, it's energy that you collect. So when that ball moves back and forth, if there's a lack in any of the places where it moves, it rubs off. So it fills up where there's not enough, or it balances when there is, and it's a very, very beautiful exercise for making a connection to the divine. Now, if you want to levitate, you can just sit on a nice big chi ball and float off the ground, and everybody will be amazed. You can do that if you want. If you'd like to play ping pong with Lord Chaitanya, if he wishes to do so. You know, ping pong is actually the best of all activities in the whole world at expanding brain capacity. They did scans, instantaneous scans of the Chinese Olympic ping pong players as they were playing. And their brain fields were growing enormously. Because as you're bashing that ball back and forth, it's coming in different ways, back and forth, crisscrossing. And the mind, the eyes have to move with it. The energy has to move with it. Your brain has to process it because you're also attacking. And so it's a continuous back and forth motion with this ball that's physically representing the energy. So we should make a brain expansion center and fill it with ping pong tables. But back to this energetic stuff. I wanted to explain this to you because I feel it's so incredibly important that, you know, I just have to say it. And if you don't mind, well, actually me and Shiva were supposed to do some music. But I wanted to do some of this with you. Do you feel enthusiastic? If you don't want it, don't do it. Now, for this, you have to stand up. This is not a sit-down stuff. And you can... Why isn't maybe everybody come out here because you have to be... Or some people can be in different places, just as long as you're not going to bump into your neighbor when you raise your arms up. So shift around. So you got to... Okay, everybody's got an arm space where they can swing. Okay, now what's very important is to just be able to feel a ball of energy. So every Tai Chi session starts off, I'll help you out with the knees. You just bend your knees, you have your feet shoulders width apart, and you bend your knees just slightly. So basically you're hanging over your feet with your knees just a little bit out. And they all start the sessions with a time of meditation where they just hold their hands up and like hold a ball. Now if you have to relax your hands. You can't be tense. And you just, with your energy, attract a ball of energy there and hold it, and just feel it there. And just close your eyes and just hold the ball. Did you feel it? Is there somebody who doesn't feel it? You can admit it, it's no problem. What you can do is just hold your hands down like this and just be conscious of your hands. Hold them down. If you're having trouble, just do what I'm doing here. Just hold your hands up and just be conscious of your hands. Feel your hands until you feel energy in your hands. You have to close your eyes to do this. Just feel your hands. Yes, you do? We're just one step at a time. Feel the hands? Yeah? Now, take these hands that you're feeling and very slowly lift them up. Very slowly. And then put them together and you have your ball. Do it again until it works. Very slowly. Very slowly. Yes? Well, that's good. Okay. Now, you can relax. When I do it, I like to hug a tree because I like trees. And I like to feel the bark and I like to feel the tree. Now, if you can feel that ball, now just have a smaller ball, about so small. And just, if you can, take the ball on one hand and hold it out in front of you. And if you have that ball, just move it over to your other hand and hold it out in front of you. Always have the ball in one hand or the other. If you like to move it back and forth, go right ahead. But do everything very slowly. Very slowly. You want to just stand there with the ball in your hand? That's okay too. Have you seen tarot cards holding the globe? There's a deeper meaning to that. Now you see. Okay, now if you're really good, remember we have little time. If you're really good, put your hands down to your side. Just lift them a little bit and put out your arm without putting out your arm. It's your arm. You know what to do with it. It's just instead of the physical arm, your energetic arm is just moving out, holding the ball, but not physically. The same way that you held a ball, just go like, for example, like this, and then lift this arm up energetically so that the energetic arm ends up like this. If you can do that, you are well on your way to all kinds of fun. If you can't do that, and frankly, I would be surprised if most people in the room could. Don't worry. You just take the ball and to throw it to the other hand. And when you catch it, you're feeling it all the time. Put it on the other hand. And then simply practice moving the ball back and forth from hand to hand. It's very simple exercise. And when you know how to do it, you can do it without even moving your physical body. Because when you're actually moving that ball like this, it's not really your physical body that's moving it. And as soon as you realize this, you've got it. So I'm giving you this homework. I'll be back here tomorrow, I think. I'll be back here tomorrow, and we'll continue this. Because I kind of squished a whole bunch of stuff in a very short period of time. So now you know you've got the ball. You can move it around. And then you've got arms that can manifest energetically. And you can do all kinds of very, very interesting things. And in case I die tonight, those of you who really understand this can exchange with the deities on that level. Think about that. And then, of course, somebody may say, I know somebody's going to say, that energetic arm which held the ball, that's not spiritual. And they will have some very sophisticated explanation of the material this and the material that and the material other thing, and then they will categorize it. And when it's categorized, they will condemn it. They will say, that is a that. And that is no good. So we're going to avoid all that stuff. Because if you feel it, and you can be here with the deities, and you can exchange with them in that way, would any sane person try to make a category to fit it in? If you need to do that, you're nowhere near ready to even attempt this. Because that is, again, the male, rational, domination, have to do it so. I'm going to take about maybe 5, 7, max 10 minutes of questions if you have any. And again, I'm kind of feeling a little bad that I stuffed all of that down so quickly. Because when you have a very divergent audience with people with all kinds of experiences who just happen to be in the same room, it's very hard to do these very interesting things so that it would be equally relevant to everybody. And again, if you can't feel, even you wake up and you can't feel, just feel your hands. This is called sensitizing the hands, making your hands aware. And then hug the tree or hold the ball for as long as you can, because you will be building chi by doing that. Again, any question? Yes. Well, it depends. I mean, at one point I also heard, I've never smelt. I see and hear, mainly see and feel. I've never tasted or smelled, but I have heard. So I suppose it depends on you. I don't consider this visualization. I'm not visualizing something. I am attracting something and then feeling it. It's not that this ball in my hand is a product of my visualization. And it's not that I visualize it moving from one to the side to the other, because if it hasn't reached the other side, I don't feel it until it comes. And in fact, as long as my mind thinks of something or is visualizing something, it doesn't work. The mind is off. As soon as the mind goes on, things get out of balance. And visualization does depend on the mind to some extent. Yeah. In the end? What do you mean, when you're done? You want to know what I do? You might laugh. I smash something with it. I told you you'd laugh. After all, I just learned this from a martial arts expert. He's very good at smashing things. So I figure I will offer my respect at the end by smashing something. I don't know if his idea was that I was going to have you come close to Gaur Nitai. I don't even think he's aware of Gaur Nitai. I have no clue. But that's a fun question. Yeah. Russian. Well, you don't feel the ball in the hand of the deities. But if they throw it at you, you'll feel it. I'm not going to tell you what was going on while I was standing here trying to show you something, because it's too wild to tell you. But there's one deity up there who doesn't play by the rules. Hmm? Well, I'm sure you could figure it out. Yes. Oh, yes, of course. This is mastery. I mean, honestly, I zoomed you through, you know, course one, day one of Tai Chi all the way to extended mastery in 10 minutes. You should never hire me as your teacher. That was terrible what I did. But the reason I did it is because those people who have been following what we have been doing, what I've been sharing with you over these years, should be able to do that. And I always believe in trying to go as high as I can, as quick as I can, and then going back and filling in the spaces. Because if there's somebody out there who goes, wow, that's what I've been waiting for, then I feel very happy. But really, it's the same thing. If you can feel the tree, for instance, or the ball, and you feel it, you can squeeze it, you can feel it rolling on your arm. Now, which arm are you feeling it rolling on? Are you feeling it rolling on this arm? Or let's be even so, which hand is holding the ball? Is it this one? Or is it the energetic body? Can this hand feel that? Or is it the energetic body that feels that? And if I'm feeling the ball roll along my arm, which arm is feeling that? And when you catch that, it's no problem to separate them. Because it's the same exact feeling. So you may be here and doing, you know, here's just one particular. So you may go like this, and then you may move like that or whatever. But if you're just like this, and the energy moves that way, your feeling is exactly the same. So that's why I went through those steps the way I did. It's a little, that's all, just a little. And the key is, what is holding the ball? What feels the ball rolling? It's the energetic body. So, I feel the ball, rolling, and I just move my physical arm, and the ball continues to roll on the energetic one. It's a little, seeing it, just a little shift, to separate the two. And once you catch that, rockets. I don't want to know. I can't smash physical level. No way. When that guy does it, yeah, he can smash physical level. Not me. I wouldn't even want to smash something. Then I'd start smashing all kinds of things. Yeah. Another technique. This one's really good. Negativity comes at you. So you have this like a grinder in your stomach and intestines region. And that negativity that comes in, you grind it up right here and you absorb it as your fuel, as your power. You digest it and transform it to power. Any negativity thrown at you, just grind it up and digest it into power. Easy to do. It works. Things have changed in the last few years. All of these energetic doors have opened. Everyone can do this. Next time you feel any negativity, just stand there and grind it up. Big grinder like this, blades. Just suck it in, grind it up, and digest it into power. Very cool. And if somebody's throwing a ball at you, and it's not for fun, catch it and throw it back. Or smash it before it comes. But that's another discussion. Yeah, let her finish. Go ahead. Yeah, you can do that. It doesn't matter. It depends on, you see, the purpose of this exercise is to balance the energies of the two hemispheres of the brain. But when I said spin it in different ways, it was actually this Qigong kind of a thing. So now that you do it consciously this way, you'll have more control over it. I was not explaining it properly at that time. Sorry about that. Yes. Oh, I promised her. I'm sorry. Yes. You better make sure you can bring them back. You don't divide. They don't divide. You don't. It doesn't work like that. They're both under your control, and they both have to work together. Don't even think of doing that. Yeah. That's an interesting question, especially those special weapons. I'm pretty sure that to use those very special weapons, you must have this capacity. And that's why in the war, only very few could do it. You had a question. Yes. Did you? Okay. Why replace? You should. It's up to you. You do what you want. I didn't tell you should do anything before, so I'm not going to tell you should do anything now. It's just there. You like it, use it. Yeah, it's there. all these things are complementary. If something wasn't complementary, I would definitely take it out of the routine. Or if you feel that something's not complementary, tell me and then we can discuss it. Okay, we'll continue tomorrow. And okay, last question. And then we'll continue tomorrow and we'll play some music. That's a very interesting question. Now, I'm going to tell you something which is my personal experience and also it's Almin's personal experience and what she teaches. So after hearing her say it, I felt more confident because I thought I was the only one who thought like this. Now, over the years, there's been a lot of talk and I've read a lot of books and there's been a lot of discussion about all the various chakras, their individual functions, the way in which they work and so on. And that's definitely true. But I've been finding over the last maybe 5 years that the importance of any individual chakra is being replaced by the significance of all of them working together in one unified field. Previously, I used to, even doing healing things, experience, you know, balancing of chakras and problems with chakras and so on. And now I'm seeing more and more the unified field. Now, people are getting quite hysterical about this 2012 thing, but what I see is happening is that a portion of the population is developing these capacities very rapidly and unifying their fields very strongly. And a small portion of the population is developing their greed and their exploitation and trying to control everybody through money. So I see that there is this incredible advancement of energy, but some are using it for greed and some are using it for the light. So I see this period as a period of enormous expansion on very fundamental levels. And according to your character as a person, you can use it for good or you can use it for really doing seriously negative things. So I see that the significance of individual chakras has become relegated to the entire field. And I've been seeing that this field is very much dependent on your intention, your vision, how you see yourself in relationship to the universe. Did that help?